We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning. Welcome back to the Russell Joseph Askew the Butcher and Bonte Hill out here in San Francisco. And a lot of doom and gloom right now with the 49ers as they're 1-2. They lost their franchise quarterback. They stunk it up on Saturday Night Football against the Broncos. But I want to start here, Mike, with Trey Lance. How did you like the way the 49ers utilized Trey Lance? Were you in favor of the quarterback runs? What did you think of the overall game plan for Trey Lance in those five quarters that he played this season?
Well, I kind of understood it. First of all, thanks for having me on, guys. But I will say this, that if you have a quarterback, like as much as they put in to work with him to make him the guy, you know, prior to the opening of this season, I would not have chosen to have runs with him. You know, he's going to make it happen naturally. But they started off, and you always run the risk of that guy getting banged up, and then the worst thing could possibly happen. I remember it was with Steve Young, you know, and when he came to the 49ers, and he was a great runner as well as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then Coach Walsh put in runs for him, actual quarterback runs. And then Steve would come to me in the quarterback room and say, Mike, you know, when you call a run to me, all it is 12 guys meeting close to you on the sideline. I run over there. They know it's a run. We're all there. Then we go back to running regular football. It was better when he just improvised. Mm-hmm. And so, I, you know what? It was a shame. I felt so bad when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't know the young man, but I know he's a talented guy, but I would not have done that.
Yeah, Mike, I'm 100% with you. I'm not a big believer in, you know, just running the quarterback up the gut. I know that there's guys that are out there, but like my big thing, just watching the game my whole life, I'm not a coach like you. He was just getting hit too much, and it felt like this guy's not going to last the year taking these kinds of shots. But the bigger question that I have is like trying to get a young man to feel confident. Let's say, because there's a lot of people, he can't throw, he can't do this, he can't do that. How do you balance it out as a head coach, trying to get a guy to feel some positive momentum early on in his career by utilizing some of the things that he does do well, but also minimizing the hits and the exposure? How do you balance that out as a head coach?
Well, that's the trick. I mean, if you're committed to him as a quarterback, and obviously they did, then you're going to play to his strengths. And also you're talking to him, and he has to know this is a growth period for him. You're not going to shoot lights out right away. And I know that. I mean, I'm your coach. I know that. So what I'm asking you to do, try and eliminate as many mistakes as possible, and I'll try and help you become the best player you can be. So hang in there with me. And then, you know, little by little, if the talent is there, and the talent is there, then you're seeing him develop as far as learning the game and his reaction, his mental reaction to different things. And that takes a little time. That takes some time. I always thought if you had the same coordinator, play caller, and system, that it would take, you really have something special in your third year of playing. Otherwise, you know, with Favre or even Joe Montana, when, you know, his first couple years with the 49ers, or Steve or the guys I had, Hasselbeck, they all of a sudden it clicks in. But during that growth period, you're hanging in there with them. And they have to understand, and you let them know that you're with them.
How do you, I'm going to jump in, I'm sorry, B. How do you balance that with the win now? We got to win right now because this roster is ready to win now. Like, because we've heard a lot about the conversations between Kyle and some of the leaders on this team and how they're trying to balance that out. How do you, as the head guy, how do you work with all those people and those layers of trying to balance out winning in the locker room and developing the young man? Because it seems so much easier to say and so much harder to execute.
You know what? You're right. It is a pretty easy thing to say. And then what you have to make sure is that your owner is on board. That's hugely important. And then you kind of explain. I remember Paul Allen telling him, he goes, Mike, when we're developing Hasselbeck and developing things in Seattle, and the owner, Mr. Allen, came up and said, Mike, when are we going to really hit it? And I said, Paul, it'll be about a year and a half. And no one wants to hear that. I mean, certainly your fans don't want to hear it. But, you know, if you're being honest about it, that's what it takes. That's what the development takes. The thing with the 49ers, in watching them, and I haven't studied them, but in watching them, is they have really great talent on offense. I mean, Kittle is one of the best. Samuel's one of the best. They have a good offensive line. I mean, their fullback is. I love the fact that they play with a fullback. I love that. Not many teams do that anymore. But they're good on offense, and so bringing a young quarterback along now's the time to do that because the other guys can really help them.
Well, we're talking to Mike Holmgren, a longtime head coach in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl champion as an assistant with the Niners, won a Super Bowl as head coach in Green Bay, got a national championship, should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got to make that campaign happen, Mike. But to that point about everything, you talk about year three of it popping. How much does coaching turnover affect that process? Because Shanahan has lost a lot of assistants. Mike McDaniel now in Miami, 3-0. A lot of people say, boy, that's a tough loss for Shanahan. He's lost to LaFleur's. One's an offensive coordinator in New York. One's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. How much does the coaching turnover affect that?
Well, it can affect it. I mean, you have to. But the thing is, in Kyle's case, you know, he calls the game.
Right.
If you're hiring coordinators to do that, then I would say you go through growing pains because you know they come in, they might have a little wrinkle to the system, they might have a different system. Maybe you hired them to get a different system, but that's not the case with the 49ers. So I think even though he's lost good coaches, mm-hmm. okay, the fact that he still calls the plays and so that's going to be pretty solid. They shouldn't suffer because of that.
Right, Mike, did you call the plays your entire tenure as head coach in Green Bay and Seattle? And if not, should maybe Kyle look to somebody to call the plays and he can focus on other things, including, maybe looking at the offensive concepts, but maybe taking a step back. Did you call the plays your entire time as head coach?
Yeah, I did. When I got a chance to call the plays in San Francisco and then went to Green Bay, I was going to call the plays. Being a head coach, as I learned, and when you're assistant coach, you don't really know, but when you be a head coach, there's all sorts of stuff going on. So I still wanted to have fun coaching, and fun for me was calling the games and doing that stuff, not the press conferences and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I did that. There was only in the 17 years I was the head coach and a little bit more before that with the 49ers, I only stepped back one game, and that was in Seattle. We were struggling in the first couple years, and I said, I'm not helping. I felt that way about myself. So I turned it over to a coach to call a game. I didn't like how that went, that game. I didn't say it at the time. No one knew about it. But then And the coach that I had do that knew that it was kind of a little bit of an experiment, and then I took it back. So yeah, I've done it my whole time, I think in Kyle's case, as an example, he's proven to be an excellent play caller, and an offensive guy. The problem is, I told this to Mike McCarthy when he won in Green Bay once. He said, I'm backing away and not calling the games. I said, don't do that. You know, you felt bad because you lost this game to the Seahawks in the playoffs. Don't do that because you're a good play caller. And what will happen is you'll turn it over, and then all of a sudden down the road, you'll want to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you take it back after a few games, that's disruptive.
Yeah.
So I would hang in there, and if that's what you like to do, do it.
Yeah. Mike Holmgren talking with us, San Francisco legend, NFL legend, helped groom three different quarterbacks into the Hall of Fame, Montana, Young, Brett Favre. I mean, the guy's legendary and just knows how to treat people in and out of football. And so, Mike, I'm looking at it from a coach's point of view. You have a game like you did on Sunday night. It's in front of the entire country. Quarterback looks completely shaken. Clearly, their relationship has been very rocky, to say the least. How do they get this thing back on track? How does the coach, the quarterback, the rest of the team button themselves up and get ready to play the LA Rams, your rival, and McVay this week? It just feels like they're really on the mat right now.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that when I knew I was going to visit with you guys. Mm-hmm. If the game is 11-10, you don't have to be a football nut to say what was wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. And so I'll tell you what. I think when they lost the quarterback, this is one man's opinion. Mm-hmm. I think when they Trey Lance and Jimmy, they're two different players. And going into this season and all the stuff that went on in the offseason when Lance was going to be the guy, they developed an offense for him, is my opinion. And then when he got hurt, they had to change and go back to a little, certainly they're two different styles, mm-hmm. and they had to go back to something that they probably hadn't practiced and developed in the entire off season. So to think that you're going to hop into a game and after one game, although Garoppolo, he did play well against the Seahawks. The Seahawks are struggling, as you know, but he played well. But to think it's going to be just like business as usual, you're making a mistake. There's going to be growing pains here. And I think transferring from a style of play that was Trey Lance-oriented to now what they have to play again, plus Jimmy coming off that shoulder thing and all that kind of stuff, there's going to be some tears shed. Let me put it that way.
How much does the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have a training camp, didn't have the playbook, although he's been here since midway through 2017, how much does that really affect his play and his decision-making on the field? Because there's a lot of bad decisions that he made on Sunday night against the Denver Broncos. How much does that affect him, Mike?
That part of it is a little bit of a puzzle. Hmm. I mean, physically, you know, and getting back in the groove of playing, coming off the injury, that's one thing. But his decision making, you know, he's played a long time. He's played enough football to make good decisions. And if that's been a problem, then that has to get fixed right away. You know, because the team is good enough, the defense is good enough, the surrounding guys are good enough. The quarterback, in my opinion, in this case, doesn't have to be the star. He just has to make plays he should make.
Yeah.
And if all of a sudden that's not happening, then that's a serious look. See now, let's see what's going on.
Mm. Mike, we could talk to you all day. I got so many questions for you. You're just spitting knowledge right now, and we're loving every second of it. In the game, you're the play caller, and this is why I'm at. I know it's evolved a lot. There's analytics, and there's probably more people in the headset these days than ever before. But when you are calling plays and you're being the head coach, how are you coming to decisions within 30 seconds? In hey, we're at the 41, we're up 3 points, we should go for it, we shouldn't go for it. Did you guys prepare for those situations? Did you have a certain point person who would maybe get into your head, you know, a play or two before? Were you thinking three spots ahead? Kind of just walk me through your process when you got to certain spots in the game on when to go for it, when not to go for it, because I feel like it's so easy for us to rip it, and it's just so hard when everything's being balanced and you're trying to call plays in real time.
No, that's the responsibility of the play caller, and that's why I like to do it. In fact, I had a rule, you know, but keep in mind, now there are 26 coaches on each staff. We had eight. So upstairs, and I had my button. I could go on defensive, listen to the defensive coaches or the offensive coaches. You can do that.
Okay,
but I also had a rule that when we were on offense, I didn't want to hear anything. No one talks. No one talks except for one guy, and that guy would talk if I asked him a question. Hmm. No one offers opinions. No one says, do this, do that. That was my job. And so that I was able to keep, I think, a little clearer head that way. And then as you do it more, you know, you're thinking a couple plays ahead every time. You're thinking field position. You're thinking clock. Right. You're thinking all those things. But that's your job. That's what you're paid to do. The hard part was when you have a coordinator, like in Seattle, I use Seattle as an example. Right. They have a coordinator who calls the offense, but Pete Carroll is the defensive head coach. Now, if the defense, you call a play. This happened to me in San Francisco near the end. You call a play, and the head coach goes, no, call something else. I go, well, gee, you know, it throws off your rhythm.
Was that Seifert?
You know, yeah, it had to be. Of course it was Seifert.
It was Seifert, right?
Yeah, you know, you didn't know names. No names, Chasky.
Yeah, I love Seifert.
Snitchy Chasky over here. Paul, we all love Chasky. Go
no
ahead,
names,
Mike.
No names.
Gosh, Chasky.
Hey, Mike.
You're trying to put Mike on a hot
my
seat
bad,
here.
My bad. Before you get on out of here, you had a lot of personnel decisions as well. You had a lot of authority as you grew later in life. If you could look back and talk to someone like Kyle, who we believe has final say on a lot of the personnel things, what is maybe a couple of rules that you have learned or created for yourself over your time being the head coach and the personnel guy?
Well, one thing, when I came to Seattle, when I had all the responsibility, I was able to hire Ted Thompson. And Ted went on to be the president of the Green Bay Packers for a long time. And I trusted him. He was smart. He was good. And so I would listen to him, and he was in charge of personnel, bring me what he wanted to do, and then, of course, I had to make the final call and say no. Very rarely did I trump him. I wouldn't do that. Same when I learned that from Ron Wolf. You know, when I came into the league first as a head coach, and Ron was my boss in Green Bay, he would listen. He was really good at that. He really listened, and at times I could talk him into things, but I also knew he was my boss. And so coaching to me, it was I wanted to coach, you know, and I loved the personnel part of it, but coaching was what I wanted to do. So I hired a great personnel person. Jimmy Johnson, I remember, was the other way. He wanted to be a personnel guy. So he hired Norv Turner and Dave Wanstead to be his coordinators and be the brains behind the coaching part of it. He wanted to do it a different way. So it's kind of what the coach wants to do. It's very hard to do it all without help. That's for sure.
Mike, it sounds like you need to be back on the sidelines.
Or be a part of the team and be like the consigliere. Yeah. We need you back in the red and gold.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm enjoying my retirement, my grandkids right now. I don't need to. I've lost all my hair, so I can't lose any more hair.
You can wear a hat. They have cool hats now in the NFL, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear one like Kyle. I will tell you that right now.
No flat hat
brim, huh? Mike, you're always good to us, man. We appreciate it. We're going to start. How are you not in Canton, Ohio?
Yes.
Seriously.
Seriously.
No, honestly,
it's
we're not
ridiculous.
Even just being homers here. It's a joke.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. I know that. And so we'll see. You know, if I can hang in there long, my birthday's coming up, I'll be 75. I'm going to hang in there. If Vermeil got in at 85, I still got a shot.
We
got
to get you in.
Yeah, we
we're
going to
make
in,
that
Mike.
The mantra of the morning roast.
Yeah, no doubt. No
Thank
doubt,
you for
Mike.
Spending
Thanks
some
so
time with us.
All right, guys. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.